Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. And to look at the ongoing impact of Sandy on the area schools, I'm joined now by WNYC reporters Bob Henley and Beth Fertig. And we can take your questions at 646-829-3980. Do you have a question about what your child or your school is going through in New York or New Jersey? Bob's on New Jersey, Beth's on New York. Call in 646-829-3980. Hi, Beth. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Hi.
Beth, what are the range of problems that the schools and the children are dealing with?
Wow, they're huge. First of all, you have communities like the Rockaways that are so devastated that almost all their schools, I believe all of their schools, have been relocated to other parts of the city, mostly in Brooklyn and Queens. And so you have families, some of whom may be staying on in buildings without power or heat, who now have to get their children to a school in another borough. And the city is providing transportation for some, but not all, by bus because they don't have enough buses. So they're offering to reimburse families for transit to the relocated schools. And this was very confusing, I believe, because a lot of families weren't capable of getting that message from the city because they may not have had cell service or internet connection. The city was doing robocalls on Tuesday night, I think, for school on Wednesday, or maybe it was Wednesday night for school on Thursday. I'm starting to lose track. But what happened is some kids arrived at their closed school locations waiting for buses and were bused to their new schools, and some kids did not get buses, and most students just didn't even bother trying for a variety of reasons. And so attendance yesterday was just about 30% at the relocated schools. 43 schools have relocated to other parts of the city right now because their buildings were damaged or still don't have
that
power.
That attendance is so low. That means a lot of students are losing a lot of education.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going on 2 weeks now.
Bob, how about New Jersey? I realize it's a state and it has 600 school districts, but where do you start?
Right. I guess the problem is the city has a little more centralized data collection. I mean, we know, for instance, that 77% of school buildings are open, 80% of the districts are open. There's 2,400 structures committed to education, you know, K through 12 throughout the state. And about 600 are closed. And there's like several different buckets that these belong in. Some in places like along the Barrier Island communities on the Jersey Shore, and even in areas like the Raritan Bay, Sayreville, those places, those schools have sustained this like significant structural damage. So there's going to have to be some serious work there. So there's about 600 schools that are offline for either power reasons, a combination of trees actually doing structural damage to gyms and classrooms, and or structural issues. And also keep in mind, it can really be a long time before they get back. When I was ahead of the storm, I was working around in the Patterson area where flooding was very bad during Irene. And a public school there had just gotten back online just a few weeks ago because of the mold issues and the question of that kind of pernicious thing that is really difficult when you want to make it safe for kids to get an education.
You know, Beth, New Jersey Spotlight linked to a RAND Corporation memo from October 31st, and this is not just about New Jersey. They studied the educational effect of Katrina on displaced students, and they said the key in New Orleans was to get students enrolled and going back to school and policymakers to make it clear how long people would be displaced so they could plan accordingly and get their children into school. Do you think policymakers here are mindful of this?
I think they are. They've definitely been reinforcing the message that we wanted to get students back to school. They can't miss another day. Mayor Bloomberg made that very clear on Monday when school resumed. And since then, there's also a federal law that requires homeless students to be able to go to their schools from their, you know, before they became homeless. They're allowed to continue going to their old schools, so to speak, with transportation provided. Schools have to take relocated students under federal law. So, you know, they've had to get that message out. But on the other hand, it hasn't been very clear, Brian. The city said to principals, if a student can still go to their relocated school. You don't have to enroll them. They have to go to their relocated school. And so PS 100 on the Brighton Beach, Coney Island neighborhood was told, no, you can't take a student who is maybe living in your neighborhood now because that student's old school has been relocated. But the principal said, I'm not turning anyone away. Mm. I'm going to take them. And she ended up taking 12 kids this week, she told me. The DOE has since clarified that message and said, if a student does not want to go to a relocated school because it's now too far away or too inconvenient, they can go to whatever school is closest to them. But once that relocated school reopens and goes back home, mm-hmm. they have to go there. They so this is only back. Temporary.
Well,
yeah.
Brian, Bob? I think we're talking about the McKinney-Vento Homeless yes. Assistance Act. And the message from the Department of Education here in New Jersey has been for districts really to suspend the red tape that goes with enrollment. So often when you want to enroll a kid in school, there's vaccination things that have to be exchanged from the prior school district. And that is supposed to be – the child's interests are supposed to be primary. But it's complicated because you have the overlay of how is the family living. So we have circumstances throughout New Jersey where power is back on in the school, but it's not back on in the home. So, and we're talking about now extended outages for tens of thousands of households. They have moved maybe out of state to where grandparents live or found alternative arrangements. So now we're going to have to deal with things like the 180-day requirement for instruction. There's been a lot of colloquy back and forth with local districts because they've been so extended in terms of this outage. Will they still be on the hook for that? And the one good thing is it's early enough in the school year that there could be nips and tucks on spring break mm-hmm. and on the holiday schedule.
Right. And the specialized high school exams in the city, that test was postponed to next weekend from a few weeks ago on the day before the storm. But Regents exams and college applications don't get put off. So there are real deadlines for learning and for filing things that students and parents and teachers all have to deal with.
Yes, there's going to be a lot to do, especially for families who are displaced or homeless or, you know, shuttling around. It's an extra thing now to have to worry about these deadlines. High school students will have Regents in January and the college applications, as you said, as well as applications for the middle schoolers to go to high schools.
Yes.
So the city is trying to, you know, maintain the schedule. We're going to put a list on Schoolbook very soon, our website about education in New York City, updating people on all the deadlines that are coming up and what is still happening.
But that's at schoolbook.org. We have time for a couple of phone calls from parents or educators or other concerned parties at 646-829-3980, 646-829-3980. And Heather in Astoria, you're on the air. Hi, Heather.
Hi. So I actually work with preschool students as an early intervention therapist, and I think one of the things that concerns me most is they're not talking about the kids who are getting home-based services. For the children who are really young, who are 0 to 3 and 4 to 5, who are in the CPSC system.
What do you see happening?
They're in a situation where they have autism and developmental delays, and we usually go into the home and provide the therapy and the services in the home. And I was in a situation where I basically was kind of like trying to meet families in a restaurant and do ABA therapy in a restaurant with a child with autism in a restaurant or in a library, and kind of taking a two-hour bus here and there where I could do it because there was no electricity in the home and the parents were freezing with their kids in the home. And now families are still in the Rockaways with no electricity, no heat, and the city's not talking about this. And the Committee on Preschool Special Education is not talking about this. And it's really hard for families who are suffering, who have children who are 10 years old, who are 15 years old, who are 18 years old and have Regents. But it's even harder when you have a child with a developmental delay who's 2 years old, who's 3 years old, who's 4 years old, who's 1 year old, and they have no electricity, no running water. And the child has autism or cognitive delay or
Heather,
cerebral palsy.
This is definitely worth looking into. Could you please give the producer your contact information and we'll get back to you?
Thank you so much. No, and, of course, that doesn't mean you're going to be publicly identified anywhere against your will. But you definitely just gave Beth the story idea.
Yeah.
So that's,
Brian?
That's good. Bob, go ahead. We're running out of time.
One of the things I've noticed is that there's also a lot of workarounds where younger children are in middle schools or in high schools. And I think it's important to engage our kids into discussion about that and have them talk about that experience that they have an outlet for it. For many kids, it's probably really scary.
Yeah, I will say that of all the schools I've been visiting in the affected areas, I haven't visited very many, but they have told me, and the teachers who were getting back to school this week all said they wanted to give their students a chance to talk about what happened. And some schools have extra crisis counselors from the Children's Aid Society showing up. You know, this is definitely forefront among the minds of the educators that I've met with. They really feel like at New Dorp High School, which took in 1,000 students from nearby middle school, they wanted those children to feel like they could talk about what had happened. Some kids knew other kids who had, been rescued off a rooftop or had, you know, lost family members. I mean, this is very traumatic for a lot of children. But mostly what I've seen is the kids really do want to get back to school. They want to get back to normal. School is a safe place for them, and the teachers are trying to make them feel more secure.
WNYC's Beth Fertig and Bob Henley, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Coming up next, leaders from New York and New Jersey cares on how to volunteer this weekend. There's still a lot of need, and they're going to direct you to where specifically some of that need might be. Stay with us because we know a lot of you who are not so affected want to help.